Item 13, legislative updates. Karen, oh boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a brief legislative update today for the board. This is a summary of laws that were adopted this year that become effective on January 1 of 2021. You've seen all of these before. They were in our update in June as pending legislation, and they were enacted. The first one is AB 992, and this a summary of it appears in the memo from me to you that is part of the agenda packet on page one, and that has to do with the Brown Act that sets forth laws regarding open meetings of local boards such as CICERA. And this change in the law addresses participation in social media platforms, and it does state that the board members are allowed to participate. However, that a majority of the board may not discuss among themselves business of a specific nature that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of CICERA. Next, we have AB 2101, and that is a very long bill that addresses a lot of different provisions, and I have a summary of those for you in the memo, starting at the bottom of page one of the memo. These are changes to the CERLA, the County Employees Retirement Law of 1937. That is the law that applies to CICERA. The first change is an announcement, a statement regarding employer contributions, and it is an affirmation of the court ruling in a case called Mijares versus Osers. And that case upheld the retirement board's plenary authority to recommend adjustments to county and district contributions necessary to ensure the solvency of the plan. And the bill simply added that statement in the CERL, and it is found in Government Code Section 31454.7. Next, at the top of page two, the bill made some changes regarding service purchases, and this is an additional service purchase ability that is added to the CERL. It is only operative in counties where the County Board of Supervisors elects to make it operative, and so it is going to be on the books starting January 1 of 2021. But it will only become applicable for CICERA if the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors make it so. And it has to do with allowing members to purchase service during parental leave. Next, the change in the law is regarding military leave. And there are federal law provisions that apply here and set forth some rights and requirements relating to those coming back from military leave. The federal law is cited in my memo. It's the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act of 1994. We refer to it as USERRA. And the update in state law is to align state law with the federal law in terms of the rights to purchase that service. Next, the bill changed the power of the board to retire members in terms of allowing the board to delegate that role to the systems administrator. And so if the board chooses to do so, the bill does prescribe and require the administrator or other staff to then report to the board service retirements at the next public meeting after retirement. That is found in Section 31670 of the CERL. Next, this bill made some modifications to the 60-day retirement application window. So currently the law prescribes that the retirement date has to be within 60 days of filing the application. And this bill would allow the retirement board to change that period of time to a smaller, shorter time period. It still states that the retirement date can't be before the filing of the application, and it also can't be more than 60 days out after the filing of the application. Next, at the top of page 3 of the memo, there's a change in the law regarding the reinstatement from retirement. It addresses situations where someone possibly is involuntarily forced to retire due to employment circumstances, but then gets reinstated to employment following an adjudication of claims such as wrongful termination, and what happens to their retirement membership at that point. So when they retire, they begin to receive retirement allowance payments, and then when they are reinstated, they would have to return those retirement payments, make the appropriate contributions, and receive retirement service for that period of time. So this is based on some questions that some other CERL systems had regarding this.
Karen?
Yes.
So under, just to simplify that, if someone is terminated and then they file a suit and they're off, let me see, if they're kind of forced out and then they take retirement, but they file a suit and they're able to get their job back, then the retirement payments that they're made in the interim, those get returned to the system, but they also win compensation for the time lost. Is that somewhat what this is addressing?
Yes. So they would presumably the award that they get from the court or the arbitration proceeding would reinstate their salary as of a specific date, and so the retirement benefits that they received would now be replaced with salary.
Okay, so no double dipping, basically.
Correct. Next is another clarification in state law to make it consistent with federal law, and that has to do with minimum age distribution. Federal law changed the trigger date to 72. And this has to do with deferred members who have funds on deposit with us. The system has to start paying them their minimum distributions at the age that it's set forth, that is set forth in federal law, and that is 72. And next, this bill clarified the age 21 provision in CERL. In some benefits statutes in the CERL, minors are paid through the age of 21 under certain situations, and some have had questions about what exactly that means, when that eligibility stops. And the clarification in the law is that the benefits would be paid up to the 22nd birthday of the child. And that is consistent with how CICERA has been interpreting that phrase and paying benefits through the age of 21. So that doesn't change how CICERA has been implementing this provision. Are there any questions? That
concludes
my presentation then. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.